for us, when we talk about our mission and our values, is that keeping our participants on a regular routine and offering them something that benefits them in a different way, maybe challenging them to work outside of their comfort zone a little bit, is really a great way that we continue to do and make sure we're following our mission in that way by offering all of these different types of ground options or activities.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Not Just a Pony Ride podcast, presented to you by Hetra University. If you've landed here, you're probably passionate about how horses help people. This podcast is for anyone who helps others experience the benefits of horses or those who have experienced it themselves. If you're in the equine assisted services industry, we're here to help you. If you're here just to learn more, you're in the right place. Welcome to your community of like-minded people where you will hear stories, education, science, and explanations about how what we do is so much more than just a pony ride. And now, from the Hetra campus in Gretna, Nebraska, here's your host, occupational therapist and CTRI, Katie Ott.
All right, welcome to the show, Cassidy and Edie. Do you want to introduce yourselves really quick and then we'll hit the ground running on our topic for today?
Sure. I'm Cassidy Fredrickson. I'm an occupational therapist and certified therapeutic ride instructor here at Hetra. And I also oversee our mini programming as well.
Cool. Tell me a little about mini programming, Cassidy.
So the minis and I, we have four miniature horses at Hetra, and we go out to nursing homes, assisted living, and we also do after school programs, and we kind of work on that social emotional piece. So the nursing homes and assisted living, they get a lot of benefit from it just because the joy of seeing an animal. And just, they don't get to see things like that very often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a different person to talk to. And then with the schools, we have a curriculum that we have based around social emotional learning that we do with after school programs.
Cool.
You're
on the move.
Yes, very busy with them.
And Edie, tell us about you.
I'm Edie Godden. I'm actually the CEO here at Hetra, but I also am an occupational therapist, a certified therapeutic riding instructor, a clinical specialist in hippotherapy, and equine specialist in mental health and learning.
You have a long credential list.
lots of letters behind my name.
That's right. So the point of this is that we're all qualified folks that are working every day in our arena with our participants doing a variety of programming. And today we want to specifically talk about what to do if mounted lessons can't happen. And I feel like that's something that we all struggle with in all of our centers, is either it's too hot or too cold, or maybe your, you know, horse has a vet appointment today and we can't ride like usual, or whatever it is. What else can we do that is still working towards our mission and helping our participants in some way, whether that be on the therapy side of things or on the kind of horsemanship side of things, either way. So when it comes to ground programming, I think people traditionally think of what?
Leading, grooming, that those types of things, yeah. I would say usually is what my head originally would go to.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of centers probably do some form of that, or like tacking, you know, maybe yeah. Some of that sort of thing. But we have worked really hard at Hetra to build a robust ground program based on where we're at geographically, because it gets really hot and really cold here. So we have to get creative. Edie, do you want to talk a little bit about kind of how our ground programming stuff became more creative and how we approached that?
Yeah. So I think when we first started talking about ground programming, it was difficult not only for the instructors and therapists, but also for the parents to really grasp what mm-hmm. that looked like. And I don't think we had great acceptance really on either side, I will tell you, because it was, you know, a stretch for some of us to say, I could do something on the ground with this participant. And parents just didn't really see the value in it. And so we had to do a lot of education with people. And basically what we kind of started to do is say, you know, there are a certain group of participants that we're going to cancel because it's too hot or too cold, because mm-hmm. they are not going to do well. Mm-hmm. And but that's a very low number. Right. I mean, I think most of our participants can do great in a clinic session or in a ground session of some type. Mm-hmm. And so I think once we started getting parents to at least give it a try, and I think we started posting some of those things on social media, then I think parents started being more willing to come out. And typically once we get them once, they're like, oh my gosh, that was great. Mm-hmm. Yes, we will for sure be back. Or can we do this, you know, once every, you know, couple months anyway, regardless of whether it's hot or cold.
I have a participant that for some reason really likes to clean stalls and like take care of the horses and like feed and water them and stuff. And so that's a ground lesson that we kind of work in every few weeks. He just really likes to do that. So you'd be shocked at the amount of participants that really enjoy whatever interaction with the horse it is, you know, and learning about the horses, regardless of riding or not.
Right. And that whole aspect of like taking care of the animal that they're riding every week and getting to know, like, this is what they're eating, this is where their stall is, and this is who their friends are. That's a really cool piece for them to learn.
Right. So I think that some of the terminology people might be thinking is equine assisted learning. Right. Because I think some of that, definitely some of this ground programming is equine assisted learning, right? You would say, Edie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it all qualifies as equine assisted learning, you know, honestly. And I think as certified therapeutic riding instructors, we are certainly qualified to be doing that activity, as well as, you know, occupational therapists and having more education and background in, you know, how we would manage both the horse and the participant in a ground activity.
Right. So I guess, like you said, we're qualified to do that, right? So I don't want people to get too hung up on like the buzzword of equine assisted learning, because as a certified therapeutic riding instructor, for example, you're qualified to teach those lessons, right? And teach those participants interactions with their horses in not only how to ride, but also how to care for them from the ground and how to teach them about horses, because that's where our background lies, right?
Absolutely.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about kind of our favorite ground programming things. And Edie's going to give us a little bit of a guideline on when we transition to those types of activities and how HETRA kind of decides that for our center. But that's kind of where we're headed for today. So Edie, do you want to tell us a little bit about how HETRA came up with our guidelines and how we enforce that?
Yeah. And so we just have general guidelines. So if it's 95 to 100 degrees here, either the feels like or the actual temperature, then we go to what we call ground lessons. Mm-hmm. And that could be in the arena, could be in the arena leading or grooming or, you know, doing any kind of activity in the back barn. And then if it's over 100 to 105, we take that to what we call classroom or clinic, more clinic type of activities, where we're in a more climate controlled environment, right, which we're very fortunate here at HETRA that we have. And I know not every center has that. So thinking outside the box for that is important. And then at over 105, we typically cancel. You know, a lot of our kids are not going to be, or participants are not going to be super heat tolerant. You know, that 105 and over just gets pretty dicey sometimes.
Unbearable.
Yeah, with people. And we don't make it a hard, fast rule, but we try to stay within those guidelines. So we kind of know what's happening. And same thing for cold. So usually if it's, you know, getting in the below zero, we'll look at, again, let's look at going to inside, maybe clinic, classroom type of activities. But the other thing I want to say is, you know, from COVID, we learned one thing, right? We can Zoom. We can do virtual programming, and that's still really as valuable for a lot of our participants. So if they can't come to site, is there a Zoom or a virtual activity? And I think that's one of the things we're going to talk about today.
Yes. So even though COVID is kind of a naughty word around the world lately, it really did birth HETRA University and this wonderful kind of online education and virtual programming side of things that has really opened our eyes and opened the box to what we're able to do when we can't ride. So do we want to talk about a few of our favorite things?
Absolutely.
I can start.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start because we just talked about virtual programming. So one of my favorite classroom things to do, or doing it virtually, because I have also done this lesson via Zoom, is to talk about horse communication.
Ooh.
So I like that one because it ties very well back to our lives outside of the barn and the arena as a therapist. I'm always looking at that, right? But from an instructor side of things, we also get to learn about how our horses communicate with us and what that looks like, because it's obviously very different, but a really big piece of horsemanship skills. So when I teach the horse communication curriculum, I have a video. So if you haven't been to hetrauniversity.org, we have educational videos over there that are like pretty short, anywhere from, you know, 30 minutes to 5 minute short little videos that give us education about horses. And one of those is horse communication. So we watch that video kind of together. You can do it in a group if you have a class of 2, 3, or 4 or you know, individually. We kind of watch that video, and then I have a worksheet that we do together that matches like what horses' ears and faces look like with human emotions. So like, here's a grumpy horse and here's a grumpy person and how they match, and that type of a thing. And it's really, really fun. My participants are always amazed at all the different ways horses' faces can look besides just when they're riding. They don't get to see their faces very often or their emotions. So it's kind of fun for them to learn about that.
Well, and I think it's also a really big, from a therapy standpoint, mm-hmm. that's a really good activity to work on because it works on body language. So mm-hmm. reading body language, you know, our friends with autism, that's so hard for them to do. So that's kind of a little fun way to bring it back and kind of break it down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, along with all of our other like virtual programming things, don't be afraid to like watch a video, do something, and then have a discussion about it or do a worksheet or whatever it is. Because we're still, like you said, working on things that our participants need to learn about and integrating the horse and bang, that's equine assisted learning, right? That's a ground lesson.
Right. So one thing that I really like to do is horse nutrition.
Mm.
So I believe we have a video on Hetcher University as well.
Yeah.
Over horse nutrition.
Yeah, we do.
If you guys want to look at it, I'm pretty sure it's pretty short. But what I like to do is take my participants back to the back barn where we have our quotes kitchen for the horses and let them kind of make whatever horse that they ride, mm-hmm. usually make their grain for their supper.
Cool.
And they think that that is the coolest thing ever, that they get to make, you know, I get to make Smarty's grain today. Like, mom, this is what Smarty eats and this is how much she eats. And then, you know, it also kind of works on those simple math skills of, you know, if they ever, you can go in the conversation of, do they ever cook or bake with their parents at home? Because you're using a lot of measurements mm-hmm. throughout filling, taking the grain and everything. And then you can work on filling their water buckets as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to do the minis because they're small. Then that way they can work on their strength and carry it down to dump it out, to refill it, and then work as a team to carry it back because it's going to be heavy. And that's always a good activity that I like to do. And then some of our horses get their hay soaked before mm-hmm. they get it in the evening. So that's a pretty simple, you know, teaching them like this is how much a flake is and having them help you count out the flakes and then just kind of watering it down. So it's ready to go for the team later,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a really good learning experience.
And I think it's cool that you can grade a lot of these activities. So if you have a younger participant or someone a little bit lower functioning, you can just work on the, you know, scooping and carrying and doing that kind of stuff. But if you have an older participant or an adult or something like that, we can talk about nutrition. You know, what do horses need in their diet? You know, and what do we need in our diet? How much of this do we eat to really have a balanced, you know, healthy lifestyle and that kind of stuff? You can overlay or, you know, add things as, I guess, our participant capacity allows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you'd also take that down to, can they look at the chart
mm-hmm.
and read the chart and go from there? Or do we need to give them more cues?
Mm-hmm.
So we can really, yeah, you're right, grade it to a lot of different levels.
Yeah.
They could do more than one horse. you know, maybe one horse is enough for some, but maybe others could do three or four.
A little multitasking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Teamwork, you know.
This episode is sponsored by Freedom Rider. Freedom Rider's mission is to provide safe, top quality tack, supplies, and resources for riders, horses, instructors, and trainers. Starting in 1996 as a catalog of hard-to-find specialty items for therapeutic riding and driving, this company has grown to include more items for therapeutic riding, hippotherapy, and able-bodied riders of all disciplines. By working with select manufacturers, specialized craftsmen and women, and actually developing their own products based on customer needs. This store carries everything from hard-to-find adaptive tack solutions, saddles, all different kinds of reins, educational books and curriculums, fun equipment like rings, bean bags, sensory items, and so, so much more. Check out Freedom Rider and all they have to offer at www.freedomrider.com.
One of my favorite activities that I think is a little bit more unique is I like that we can take an English saddle. We have saddles that are donated to us that we wouldn't use in the program. Yeah. And so we take them apart. And we have them in a tote and we can take them apart. And then for our individuals who are a little bit higher functioning from a cognitive standpoint that we want to give more of a challenge to, we can ask them to put that back together. Mm-hmm. Now, our participants have some knowledge of like where things go because they ride. But maybe if they ride in a Western saddle, you really want to challenge them. You have to put the English saddle mm-hmm. together, or maybe you have them do the Western saddle because that's what they're familiar with. But we take it apart and then we have pictures of what it looks like. So we first say, just put this back together without any additional direction, depending again on how much we want to challenge them. Second, we may say, okay, here are the written directions if they're able to read. And then we see if they're able to follow those. And sometimes they're like, I don't know what a girth is, or I don't know what, you know, this is. And then the next step is we give them a picture so they can use the picture. And then the final step is that asking for help mm-hmm. and asking questions and, you know, getting that final product done. But I think it's a great activity. It's a great problem solving activity. It can be done as a team. It's a great team activity. You can do an English saddle and a Western saddle. If you really want to get fun, you can put a bridle in there as well. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting. So now you have the rein attached to the stirrup. It's going around as the girth. And, you know, you can talk about, you know, why that might not be safe. But yeah, it's one of my favorite activities. One of the things we do here at HETRA, which I think is great for any program, is we have pre-made totes mm-hmm. for ground programming and pre-made worksheets and just plans. So I can go in there and I can say, oh, for these guys, I want to work on horse breeds or horse colors or teeth of horses or the English saddle. And I can just grab that. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to put anything together. I can just grab it and go.
Right. And I think that is part of planning for success and making our jobs easier as instructors, right? Is just having those things ready to go. Takes a little bit of work on the front end, but once you do, it makes the rest of your life so much easier. And I also think that it provides a little buy-in from our instructor standpoint. I don't know, Edie, if you can talk a little bit about that, because as you know, you might have someone come into your center that is here to be a therapeutic riding instructor or a riding instructor, and they want to teach people how to ride, and they, you know, aren't as comfortable with the ground lesson side of things or the, you know, alternative, maybe quote unquote, programming as far as that goes. So can you talk a little bit about that buy-in from instructors?
Yeah, I think that initially when we started was more difficult as yeah. well with the parents or the participants and the instructors or therapists. I think we've seen that improve significantly. And I think by making their jobs easier mm-hmm. and providing those pre-made ideas so they can just go grab it and, you know, try it with our participant. They don't have to say, okay, well, I have to get there now an extra 45 minutes early mm-hmm. so I can find all these pieces. Or so I can put them all back. So they're all there ready to go. I think it they find success in that, which makes them then more likely to want to do it again.
Especially our part-time therapists that aren't here all the time. You know, when they come from their other jobs and they come in, you know, have 30 to 15 minutes before their lesson, like that is so helpful for them to just run in. I know they know where it's going to be. This is what I'm going to do. And they can go do it.
Mm-hmm. So do we provide options for our participants, or how do we go about communicating when we are going to ground programming and allowing our participants to kind of make that decision?
So we always let them know because some of our participants don't transition very well. And so getting here and then all of a sudden being told, well, you don't get to ride today could create a whole bunch of behavior issues. So we always let parents know ahead of time that that's going to be the change. And then we like to give them the details. So today we're going to work on, you know, maybe we are going to groom one of the minis and then we're going to go and practice putting tack on EQ. So I let them know very specifically, or we let them know very specifically, what is that activity going to look like today? So that they know that we have a plan and what that looks like, and that that we why we feel like that's a good match for their kiddo. Now they can always still say, nope, we're just going to cancel for today. For us, that just does go down as a participant cancel, because we did offer them programming and they chose not to come. So we put that down as a participant cancel rather than a HETRA cancel, which in the long run, you know, helps us out, because all of us at the end of the year have to, you know, take a long, hard look at what does our programming look like, and how many times did we have to cancel sessions, and how many times did our participant cancel sessions? We sure like to keep the number of times we have to cancel to a bare minimum. And we found that this is a great way to do that.
Do you want to talk a little bit about, like, even though no one likes to talk about it, but does matter, is that once we started implementing some of this ground programming, it really significantly impacted our bottom line and our, you know, financials of cancellations and how much programming we had to cancel, you know, because we started doing some of this, right?
Right. So we all have a budget that we have to meet, and we have to meet that programming budget. For us, if HETRA cancels a session, that gets refunded back to the participant. So, you know, that goes away from that bottom line for programming. And we, you know, that's not really something that all of a sudden you can start to make up at the end of the year by seeing more people, because you need more horses and more volunteers and more resources. So, so preventing those cancellations as much as possible is really important. I think the other thing for us, when we talk about our mission and our values, is that keeping our participants on a regular routine and offering them something that benefits them in a different way, maybe challenging them to work outside of their comfort zone a little bit, is really a great way that we continue to do and make sure we're following our mission in that way, by offering all of these different types of ground options or activities.
Yeah. This is off topic, but you said something about growing, and that it made me think of what sometimes when it's too hot or too cold, I have my participants do exercises.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that just kind of popped into my head, so I wanted to share it with everybody. Of course, I'm a therapist, so, you know, I sort of geek out about that anyway, because the better physical, you know, strength I can add for a participant, the better. But I also, if you guys want to weigh in too, think that that applies completely and totally to adaptive riding instructors and therapeutic riding instructors as well, because if our bodies aren't strong and flexible, then we can't assist our horses in the ways that we need to. So we can always tie stretches and strengthening exercises back to, how does this help our horse? How does this help us improve as a rider, right?
Right. Right. Absolutely. And we do have two videos on that.
We do.
On our webinar page. I believe those are paid options, but they're I think $5, so easy, not expensive. And I've honestly just pulled those up and sat and done those with my participants and, you know, cued them into, you know, how they can do them to their best of their ability and why they're important and how many of those did I want them doing at home. home then? What's right. the homework for that? And then if we need to, you know, being able to send them the link that they could actually then go ahead and do that at home. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of our participants really benefit from that exercise piece of things, mm-hmm. that they may be less active mm-hmm. than others. And so finding other ways we can get them moving when they're not here is really important.
Yeah. And like you said, continuing the less cancellations we have to have, if we can do something like some stretches or exercises, it continues their, growth, and they don't have to just sit at home for a week and not work on those muscles because we were canceled. They can, work on those muscles in a different way. And our videos are kind of fun because we did them in the aisle with the horses in the background, and we talk about the horses and stuff like while we're doing it. So it's kind of fun.
And the other cool thing that I really like about those exercise videos is that they're graded in two different ways the whole time.
They are.
So there's a seated one and then there's a standing one. So a more mm-hmm. advanced one as well.
Yeah. Lots of options for grading there for sure. So another thing that I think helps us kind of continue that continuation of care and progress for our participants is we are lucky enough to have an equisizer. It's a mechanical horse that rolls and rocks and everything similarly to the way that a horse moves. But obviously, we call him EQ, but the equisizer doesn't get overheated in a way that a regular horse does. Right.
But what I really like about, the equisizer option is that, there are some participants that aren't safe on the ground next to the horse. So, mm-hmm. if they're not able to ride their horse in the arena, I can't have them on the ground, but I could put them on EQ in the hallway and we could still have a mounted session.
Right. You can have a mounted session. You can work on tacking. You can work on all kinds of things from the ground in a safer environment than with, standing next to a live equine or whatever the case may be.
Mm. I think the other really important thing that you could work on there is practicing your mount and your dismount.
Oh yeah, good one.
And what that looks like and having them really slow the process down, and mm-hmm. you can break it down to see if you're having a participant that's struggling or getting on too fast, you can maybe put some things in place, with EQ versus, trying to do it with the horse, because EQ will stand there for hours.
Right, that's right. Right. You just inspired me, Edie. I have a participant that I am working on the dismount process. We used to get off using a little step, and now I want to work on, getting off to the ground, but that's like such a large drop. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And so you just inspired me. We need to get on EQ and
drop down from EQ.
Yeah. Slow it down and practice on EQ.
Yeah. So I think that's another great, great way to utilize EQ. But like you said, I also have kids practice haltering and unhaltering
Ooh, yeah.
EQ because again, that EQ doesn't move his head. He just stands there nicely. He's very patient. Nicely. Doesn't mind the flies.
The goodest boy.
He is the goodest boy.
You can lead EQ too. I've done that before too.
Yeah. Yeah. Take EQ for a walk. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sometimes they think that's a hoot to take EQ for a walk down the hallway.
Very good. Well, there's way more where this came from as far as ground programming goes. And I just wanted to let you guys know that if you are a Patreon subscriber, we are going to share some of those resources on to that site. So for just $5, you can subscribe to our Patreon. You get a free webinar every month, and then you get other perks. So like this month, I'm going to release the Equine Emotions worksheet and instructor guide that has all the instructions on how to facilitate, as well as the video that goes with it. So All that stuff will be over on the Patreon if you want to check it out.
Nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
One of the other things I was going to mention for our ground activity, that's pretty simple. Again, if it's too hot and your horses are already turned out in their pasture or their, daytime, is herd dynamics.
Ooh, love
and
that one.
So sitting and watching how they interact
That's
each
always
other,
fun.
Is great. And we, can facilitate all kinds of different conversations in, what's happening, how do they communicate? Do we ever see that, communication in the arena? What might that mean for us? Mm-hmm. But it's not a high intensity activity for anybody. That if the horses are already out enjoying their time out, it's a great way that we can do that. But the other option is, and I've actually simply found these on YouTube, is again, if I'm going to take it to the classroom, I can find a couple YouTube videos that have herds interacting with each other, and or even pictures of herds interacting with each other. And we can kind of pull those up and discuss them. So we can take that a lot of different directions back to our herd. One of the other really simple things to do, walking down the hallway, horses are in their stalls. We have a sheet of characteristics that say things like quiet or calm or happy and
goofy.
Yeah, we ask them to circle, you know, what, you know, look, stand and watch a couple horses, circle a couple of those characteristics they feel like they are, and then we talk about them, you know, later, which again really gets them cued into what is that horse saying? You know, what does that look like? And again, simple activity. Doesn't really require us to do much, can be very low key, could be done out in the herd too, right?
Yeah,
we could do that same thing if they're turned out.
Every time I do that activity, I'm always amazed at how accurate our participants are. Like, they'll watch horses that they don't interact with on a, you know, that they don't ride or don't see very often, and they'll watch them in their stall and circle. Like, there's one horse I'm thinking of in particular, and Goofy is on there, and they circle like Goofy or fun or whatever. And I'm like, That's it. That's a good And so like us as instructors that know that horse are like, you're exactly right. That is how that horse is. And, you know, just the way that our participants can pick up on little things that they might not even know they know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when we do those activities, making sure that they understand like there's no wrong answer. So what you see that horse doing and how you interpret it isn't necessarily wrong. But we talk about that. Like, what made you think that?
Yeah.
You know, what did you see that made you think that? And that helps them kind of break that down. What did that look like? And did that change at all based on what you were doing? Did you take some deep breaths? Did you, you know, were you being loud and talking to somebody else and that maybe irritated the horse, you know, what was happening? So I think it's cool because we can facilitate a lot.
Right. So I think the moral of this story is don't be afraid to think outside the box, right?
Ground programming. It's the way to go.
It is.
When you need it.
When you need it, it's a good trick to have in your hat.
Absolutely. And do it ahead of time so you're not having to try to struggle to get it done the day of. If you can really take some time and set it up ahead of time, you're saving yourself a lot of time. We do have a ton of good resources that are totally free. You don't need to recreate the wheel. You can go out and look at those. We also have story time with the minis. So that would be a great activity to do with some of your littles that, you know, might not do the horse communication piece, but the story time with the minis might be great. Or having story time with your own minis.
That's right. That would be fun. All right. Well, thank you, Edie and Cassidy, for sitting down with me and sharing your wealth of knowledge with us. This won't be the last time we hear from you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Just popping in to remind everyone that there are a ton of free resources over at hetrauniversity.org. So don't feel like you have to recreate the wheel and really overwhelm yourself with programming this type of curriculum. We have everything from horse emergencies, horse nutrition, communication, gait patterns, different horse disciplines, and those are all videos ranging from 10 to 30 minutes that really are going to give an in-depth look that's friendly for a participant. You can review them and then teach them to your participants or watch them as a class. There's lots of resources over there, so head over to hetrauniversity.org for those. I also took the liberty of linking all of the different things that we talk about in this episode in the show notes. So those educational exercise videos, the story time with the minis, the mini programming webinar, and then also the horse communication curriculum. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, you're going to get that for free. But if you're not a Patreon subscriber and not sure if you want to pull that $5 trigger yet, you can also purchase that curriculum over at the link in the show notes that I provided or on our shop at Patreon. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode. Until the next one launches, stay connected to our community by joining the Not Just a Pony Ride Facebook group. There, we share exclusive educational content, answer your questions, and review new and exciting developments for the EAS community. Don't forget, if you have suggestions for future episode topics or a lead on a great guest that you think our audience would enjoy,
click on the link in the show notes, or visit us at hetrauniversity.org. This podcast is presented by Hetra University, an educational arm of the Heartland Equine Therapeutic Riding Academy. Hetra University's mission is to provide high-quality educational offerings to our participants and the EAS community. If you'd like to help us work toward our mission, you can make a donation by visiting us online at hetra.org. Again, I can't thank you all enough for helping Hetra change lives one stride at a time.